In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry Hops Infused Hard Seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker time, presented as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. Let's talk to a friend of the program and a known Oregon Duck. Very excited for college football to be right around the corner. Dan Rubenstein joining us, host of the Solid Verbal Podcast, and we love every chance we get to catch up with him. Dan, before we talk college football with you, we need to settle a discussion about something in sports. I'm wondering where you sit on it, and that is the Savannah Bananas. Yay or nay?
Oh, yay. Why would anybody be nay? People, you got, like, fun police in your office?
Yeah, I'm working next to one. He just asked you that question.
Yeah, I'm an old curmudgeon. Give me real baseball, man. If my kid's into it, I'll take him to a game. But, like, as an adult, I have no interest in watching it on my own.
I know, but is anybody, like, forcing you at gunpoint to watch it? There's, like, you can watch, like, a Twins-Blue Jays game whenever you want.
It's a valid argument. It's a valid argument.
And we were talking about, like, football, and he goes, I got a Savannah Banana take. And I'm like, what?
They're showing up on ESPN all the time, Dan. Get them off my TV. I'm old. I like to yell at things. This is how I operate. Fall camp is here. How's Dan Rubenstein feeling about this version of the Oregon Ducks?
Very good. I'm feeling very good about this team. And, you look at the number of teams in college football who would trade rosters with Oregon, and it's 130. Right out of 135 or so. There is more depth than I can remember on this defense, not necessarily in terms of proven talent and proven production, but in terms of what we perceive to be a talent level and how well the recruiting and the transfer portal has gone, especially on defense, I feel great. But, you know, once we see a little bit more from the receivers and where this offensive line is, then I think I feel pretty great about the offense as well. But in terms of known playmakers on both sides of the ball, they're heading into the season in a terrific position, obviously with the confidence that knowing they can go through this conference unscathed or in a major way. I don't know how you can feel anything but terrific about where Oregon is right now.
And I don't know if this question's an easy answer for you or if it involves the coach aspect to it. What side of the ball in Eugene do you feel like you trust the most going into the season?
Still the offense, because Oregon is going to measure itself in how it reacts to some of the best offenses in the conference, if not the country. And we saw the defense let this team down in the biggest game of the season last year. And it's not on the players. It's a combination coaches, maybe players and communication. And it's at this point where Oregon is measuring itself against the best and going down the way that they did to Ohio State, with the sort of coverage breakdowns, communication breakdowns, and having, you know, obviously a terrific offensive coordinator, no stranger to Oregon fans, and Chip Kelly just pick this scheme apart. You want to see how Oregon is going to be able to respond on defense this year with a ton of talent on all three levels, but I still think there's more to go into the season confidently with this offense because of Dante Moore having the time in Eugene, because of the receivers having the time in Eugene, how they've recruited, bringing in Mekhi Hughes. You know, the ceiling on Kenyon Sadiq seems higher than any Oregon tight end ever. Doesn't mean he's going to win the Mackey and be the best ever, but it seems athletically and how hard he blocks. Like, there's just a ton to love about what they can do on offense, whereas with defense, we still need to see that next step, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good point for my next question. We're talking with Dan Rubenstein, host of the Solid Verbal Podcast. You can follow it on Twitter, at Solid Verbal Goon. A great job covering college football. On that note, I agree with you on the coordinator point, and I think it's a really big year for Tosh Lapoy. He didn't have the greatest track record as a known X's and O's guy coming in. He was more known as a guy who could find kind of loopholes in the rules. Oregon fan remembers that back in the day. He's a great recruiter. He's a good locker room guy. Like, you know, there was a lot of pluses with Tosh Lapoy, but he's not known as this game planning X's and O's wizard when it comes to the defense. Is this a big year for him to kind of put some of that to bed? And I know there's a lot of new faces out there and some inexperience, But the way that you pointed to, the way the season ended for them defensively last year in the last 2 weeks was horrendous, even though they won the Penn State game and the Big Ten championship, of just Lanning having to maybe make a decision about somebody who he's had a really good relationship with for a long time. That's not an easy thing for a head coach to do.
No, it's true, and it's a younger Oregon staff by and large, and obviously it's paid dividends recruiting. But a lot of the times when you look around this sport and you look at some of the defensive coordinators specifically who have succeeded over time, there's a lot of grizzled older minds, right? You look at Nick Saban, you look at Kirby Smart. Not Kirby Smart's not old, but with what Jim Knowles did at Ohio State, Tom Allen at Penn State, which, by the way, Oregon did a nice job gashing Tom Allen's Penn State defense, to be clear. There's just a lot of guys that call great college defenses that have been through it, you know what to lean on, know how to game plan. Not saying Tosh Lupoi can't and can't develop into that, but there is, I think there's a certain amount of experience needed over time on a huge level to say, okay, this is how they're finding mismatches. This is how we're going to counter. And Oregon took far too long to counter in that game. And you look at the first, you know, 2/3, 80% of last year's schedule. This was a terrific defense. But at the end of the season, and I don't know if it was a legs thing, I don't know if it was the fact that they're playing against Penn State and Ohio State, but this is they looked lost at times against these teams. You look at the beginning of the Penn State game, obviously the beginning of Ohio State. That's pointing to game plan. That's pointing to getting teams ready because it's not a talent thing with Oregon. So, yeah, I think this year could go a long way to cement or improve Tosh Lupoi's standing.
And Dan, I think you and Ty do a good job of, like, we kind of know where maybe some allegiances lie in some ways, but you guys are pretty objective and fair when you talk college football, which is a really tough thing to do. Sometimes people get too into their own fandom. How delicious is it got to be for you, though, for Oregon to kind of be flying under this little Big Ten radar and Penn State having all the expectations on them this season?
It's really interesting because we've seen stories the past couple weeks of like, hey, are we not talking about Oregon enough? Should we be having an Oregon conversation where the conversation around Penn State is like, if not now, when? Is this Penn State's last chance? Like, there seems to be so much pressure on Penn State. They've been in this spot before and failed to deliver. So, yeah, it's kind of fun needling Ty, Penn State alumnus, Penn State fan, with like, hey, man, first-year defensive coordinator, quarterback who didn't complete a pass against Notre Dame to a wide receiver. Like, this is it. This is the whole thing. So I like it.
All the pressure on James Franklin. What could go wrong in that instance? We've never seen that before. I'm curious, Dan, how closely you still follow Oregon State and just what your read is on their situation. You know, we were talking yesterday with some buddies who are Beaver fans about how just getting out of this purgatory for one more year will be very helpful and having a home and having a conference. But Oregon State fan, I think, still trying to find their lot in life and where they fit into this bigger picture since being left behind. As a national college football voice, what do you make of the Beavs and where they're at right now?
Hate it. Hate it. I like Oregon State. I've liked Oregon State throughout the years. I like, as an Oregon fan, Oregon beating Oregon State, but I have too many good memories about fun Beaver players to enjoy what's happening right now with the Beavers. They should be in a major conference. Wazoo should be in a major conference. The new look Pac-12 doesn't do a lot for me, and Oregon State and Washington State being in the new look Pac-12 is a bummer to me. So I hope that, you know, in the next few years, we can get to a place in the sport where we're having a conversation about Oregon State and Wazoo in major conferences again, fingers crossed. But it's all a bummer to me. I hope they win a bunch of games. I hope the rivalry game with Oregon continues and is a fun game that Oregon can win every single year. But no, the whole situation is still not fun for me, and especially the West Coaster. Like, I want Oregon playing all of these teams all of the time. I don't know.
No, we're with you 100%. If you took the Texas game off Ohio State's schedule, and I know you can't because that's the big one, it's maybe the biggest game of that weekend, but you look at the schedule, who is the non-Texas game? What team do you think Ohio State slips up at the most within the Big Ten if it's not Penn State or Texas?
If it's not Penn State or Texas, who Ohio – I should dial up Ohio State's schedule in front of me right now. Honestly, it's the Washington game is tricky, but they have a bye before that game. Mm-hmm. But that's a long travel day. Otherwise, I don't know. I feel like they've lost three straight to a team on their schedule, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I crazy?
No.
And okay, it's on the road this year.
and it's on the road. It's in Ann Arbor against Michigan. And when you look at their schedule outside of Penn State, I think Michigan, again, just the Big Ten portion of the schedule, outside of the Penn State game, I think Michigan will play defense better than anybody on that schedule will do anything, if that makes sense. So that would be my answer. The fact that it's on the road, I think it's still Michigan.
Dude, okay. If they don't win the title and they lose to Michigan again.
Has a coach ever gone from national title to hot seat immediately the next year? Because that
Gene
would probably
Chizik?
Yeah, Gene Chizik, true. Over under, I think, in Vegas on the Ducks is 10.5. Are we taking the over or the under?
I think I'm going to take I have them at 10-2, so I'm going to take the under. I just think college football is hard enough. The Big Ten is difficult enough that I think Oregon will make the playoff at 10-2. I think 11-1 is likely, but not crazy likely. You know, the Penn State game is going to be tough. And then Oregon's schedule, they have a bye before that Iowa game, but a lot of good teams have gone to Iowa City and lost 15-13. Outside of the Iowa game, there's not anything that's obvious to me. I think Indiana will be quality, but Oregon has a bye before that. And Washington's going to be decent, and that's on the road. So the math just tells me it's, you know, for Oregon to go 11-1, that means they need to win 24 out of 25 regular season Big Ten games. That's a tall ask. That's a really big ask. So I'm going to say under, but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, that's still a playoff team.
Is there a great team being hyped that you're just really, for whatever reason, not buying into this season?
As like a legit national championship contender?
Yeah.
Well, kind of all of them, just because they all have new quarterbacks. But Penn State might be my answer there, just because they are not a program that has typically shouldered expectations super well. And I still think they're going to be a playoff team, but yeah, you look around the sport and Alabama, Notre Dame, Oregon, Georgia, in terms of full-time new starting quarterback, like there's so many new full-time starting quarterbacks that one of these teams, and I guess I'm going to say Penn State, and they don't have a new starting quarterback, but yeah, I guess that's my answer, because also it's a new DC and Jim Knowles, who I think usually takes a minute to get his defense installed. He's more of a year two guy. So that would be my answer right now.
All right. Great stuff. Can't wait for college football to start. It's right around the corner. We're eagerly awaiting the beginning of the season. Dan Rubenstein, you can check out his podcast, The Solid Verbal, wherever you get your podcasts. Phenomenal college football content. Always great catching up with you. Go Ducks. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.